It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. With former President Donald Trump winning a second term in office, now comes the analysis on what motivated voters to reelect him.
A researcher here in Wisconsin has been following this story pretty much her entire career.
Catherine Kramer has been talking to voters around Wisconsin and beyond for years. Her 2016 book, The Politics of Resentment, garnered national attention for the way it captured the urban-rural divide.
She's a professor of political science at UW-Madison and co-chair of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences Commission on Reimagining Our Economy. We check in with her now to see what she's been observing about voter attitudes and how they shape the election results. Kathy, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hi, Rob. It's great to be with you again.
Now, a big part of your research has always been doing listening sessions with people, not just surveys, which could be fine, but actually talking to community members, voters in different communities. Lately, what kind of talk running up to the election in particular were you hearing when it came to economic issues?
For a lot of people, there's a sense of insecurity about their economic life right now that isn't necessarily new, but has been around for some time, and just a widespread perception that the economy was not built for people like them. The economy is kind of rigged against them. And we've heard that from people of a variety of political leanings.
Well, our reporters at WPR were at polling locations around the state on Election Day, and they found both Trump voters and Harris voters talking about economic issues and inflation. I want to give a listen to a couple of them. A voter named Angel Merzberger in Brookfield said her top two issues were the economy and abortion. She said she would be voting for Harris. Here's a listen.
The price of groceries, the price of living is just, we live paycheck to paycheck right now, and we used to not do that. So that's why I'm here today. Because there needs to be change.
And we heard from Mike Flannery in Waukesha, who said he's going to vote for Trump. His top issues were the economy and the border. Here's a listen to Mike.
I think just for me, the economy, I work in real estate. And so seeing the affordability, interest rates are being obviously elevated. The economy itself with inflation, the cost of groceries, things like that. The last 4 years have been pretty terrible versus the prior four.
I want to key on that issue of inflation that both a Harris voter and a Trump voter mentioned there. We had this global inflation epidemic, basically, for a couple years there. Jobs numbers can look good, but hey, if you have a job, you have 100% employment. If you don't, you have 0%. Inflation numbers people see every time they buy something. How much do you think that this factored into this election?
Yeah, it matters a lot because you're exactly right. It's when people don't necessarily see the kind of the aggregate indicators of how well the economy is doing, but what they see are food prices and gas prices, and it's just a much more kind of everyday reminder of in their world how the economy is doing. So, the inflation mattered a lot for voters. And it's so interesting, these two conversations you had with Angel and Mike. I mean, they're as you say, they're going to support, they planned on supporting different candidates. And people may feel that the economy is difficult for them. A variety of people may feel that, but their interpretation of who or what is to blame is really different, right? And the party that they lean toward is where they get their cues on who's to blame. And you can see in their comments that they have very different ideas about whose fault it is that they're feeling these economic challenges.
I want to run a hypothesis about this election by you, Kathy. I don't know if I believe it, just something I've been thinking about. A very small swing in Wisconsin, of course, can sway an election. We have under 1% wins in three consecutive presidential elections. As much as we talk about the uniqueness of Donald Trump as a polarizing figure, like him or not, this was a very normal election. Here's my hypothesis. People are watching this inflation. They're unhappy about that. Enough of them. They look, they say which party's in the White House, and they say maybe a change will help fix this problem that I'm seeing every day. What do you think of that notion?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think we political scientists have known for a long time that presidential elections can be understood as kind of a referendum on the incumbent party. And so even though Joe Biden wasn't on the ballot, his party was. And generally, the low unpopularity of Joe Biden and the challenges that people have been having with the economy drive a lot of the outcome, and it clearly drove a lot of the outcome. So I think you're exactly right.
I want to revisit the economy in a few minutes, but I want to pick up a theme you've talked about a lot over the years. I've talked to you about it and your book, The Politics of Resentment, The Urban-Rural Divide, the perception in rural Wisconsin was the focus of your work at that point of, the urban America was getting something that they weren't in effect. How do you see that playing out in 2024?
It's still a part of our story here in Wisconsin and in the country. But what I understand now in more recent research I've been doing is that it's part of a more general divide, political divide that's taken place in this country. And it's partly, it can be understood a lot in the college gap that we see in electoral returns in this election and other recent elections, where college educated people especially white college educated people are leaning toward the Democratic Party, and people without a 4-year college degree are increasingly leaning toward the Republican Party. There's something to be said about the perspective that a person develops living in a rural place versus an urban place, but also the greater likelihood that you, if you have a 4-year college degree, that you live in a more urban community, is part of what's going on in terms of this geographic polarization too, where we see urban areas going, predominantly Democratic, and more smaller communities or rural places going Republican.
And that's been changing over time. Republicans used to do okay with college grads, just fine among college graduates. Democrats used to have some rural strongholds. Southwestern Wisconsin, I think one of the most dramatic shifts in the country, some counties, Crawford County, I think, and others. Is it that the people there are changing? Is that what the parties are saying and doing is changing? What is driving that change?
Yeah, a little bit of both. And I would say largely what the parties are doing and saying and the arguments that they're giving to people. But I say a little bit of both because in Wisconsin and across the country, that the conditions of rural communities and urban communities have diverged over time, especially since the 1970s. And by that, I mean, generally, it's urban communities where we see economic growth, and rural communities have either stagnated in their local economies or experienced a decline. And we also see that in population numbers, too, in Wisconsin and around the country, where, it's urban communities where we see population growth. But again, rural communities, they're experiencing, a so-called brain drain or a lack of opportunities for young people to come back and get a job in the rural community in which they grew up. So rural communities experiencing population stagnation or decline. And another thing that's happened too is this college divide where, back in 1970, it was roughly 10% of people either in a rural community, a rural county specifically, or an urban county had a 4-year college degree. But that's changed drastically. In the last 40, 50 years, where people in urban communities are just much more likely. About 1 in 3 people in an urban county have a college degree these days, but only 1 in 5 in people in rural counties. And also, finally, like the other condition that's really changed, or the way these rural and urban communities have diverged over time, is in the racial and ethnic composition. Here in Wisconsin and around the country, the urban communities have become much more racially diverse. And that's true of rural communities too, but not at the same rate. So what's going on for people has changed, but also, as you say, the other part of this, it's not just that people have changed. It's the nature of our politics have changed, and the kind of arguments that the politicians are making to people have changed. And the Republican Party has done very well for itself by tapping into, what I understand to be this rural resentment, or this sense of all, you know, we're not getting our fair share, and it's folks in the cities who are getting the resources and the attention and the respect.
This might be out of left field, Kathy, but a theme of many interviews I've done over the years is rural communities have less access to blank, medical professionals, lawyers, mental health counseling, drug treatment, things like that. Professional services often provided by college graduates. The economics of those businesses make it harder to make a living and pay off student loans in those rural communities. They're college graduates, and maybe they want to live in those urban communities. Is that contributing to feeling abandoned, to feeling like, hey, we're not getting some of these basic needs met?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, if you look at hospital closures, just that one indicator in our state, right? Like, hospitals around the state are having a tough time, and it's not just rural communities that have seen hospitals close, but arguably they've been harder hit by the kind of the crisis facing our healthcare system, especially post pandemic. And yeah, it's tough to, you know, it's difficult to live in a community where, for example, you're at something of a risk by being pregnant. Like, how far you have to drive when it's finally time to deliver your baby. It's a concern to people, and they look to urban areas and don't see that same kind of concern. And so it does, for a lot of people, feels like, wait a minute, what about us?
Talking to Kathy Kramer from UW-Madison, author of the book, The Politics of Resentment, looking at voter attitudes toward the economy, rural-urban divides, and more. Kathy, you are in the midst of a big project. You're working with this commission on reimagining the economy. And you mentioned a lot of people in both parties feeling like, hey, I'm living in an economic landscape designed for someone other than me. How do you even start to reimagine something that huge?
Yeah, I think by starting exactly what you're talking about, what you're focusing on, is just how people are experiencing the economy and their perceptions of it. And I say that because a lot of times when we think about the health of the economy, we're talking about like GDP and, you know, kind of aggregate indicators. And we're not necessarily talking about how are people experiencing the economy and what do we need to do to create an economy that contributes to the well-being of the American people, not necessarily focus on the well-being of the economy as a whole. Sometimes those things are the same, but not necessarily. And people, as I was, you know, in as response to one of your first questions, people have this sense that the economy is not built for their well-being. The economy is built to make money, generate profits. And they are not necessarily the beneficiaries of that.
There was traditionally a sense that, okay, Republicans are the party that leans toward business, Democrats for labor. I think a change in the Clinton era, our perception that with trade agreements and things like that, Democrats also turning into a party that served business. Did that contribute to a feeling that, you know, there isn't a political outlet for those economic concerns that people feel?
Yeah, a bit. I mean, and that change that you're talking about, and the shift, I mean, a lot of times the way we think about it within political science is the partisan leanings of people who are in kind of white folks in working class occupations, and the way their partisan leanings have shifted over time is really pretty significant. So, you know, back in the Clinton era, even in a bit before that, they tended to align with the Democratic Party. But that has shifted a lot in recent decades, and they're tending increasingly to align with the Republican Party. And it's part of, the massive changes we've experienced in this country, in our economy, we're feeling it in our politics these days. That is for sure.
We could talk for hours about the economy and our politics and well-being. I want to shift gears for our last few minutes, though, Kathy, and look at gender. A gender gap we see in support of more men voting for Republicans and Donald Trump, more women voting for Democrats and Kamala Harris. A woman running as the Democratic candidate for the second time. I've heard some people point out, okay, Trump loses to the guy and wins over two women. Is there a part of the populace, the electorate, that's going to swing their vote based on there being a female candidate?
Probably. And you know, we need a few more weeks or so to sort out exactly how that worked in this election. But according to the election poll, the exit polls, the gender gap in this election was not that all that different from recent elections, which may be a little bit surprising, knowing that the issue of abortion is top of mind for many people in the electorate. But what I think it speaks to is the way, and in your previous segment, how you were talking about with your guest about how the Donald Trump really distanced himself from the issue of abortion during his campaign. And so it's possible that abortion wasn't as strong of an issue in this election as we might have expected a few months ago. So yes, my sense is that having a woman of color at the top of the Democratic ticket would matter for the gender gap. But so far, it looks like it didn't have a huge effect on the outcome of this election.
And I'm wondering if this is something that's come up to you in your conversations with people around the state and around the country, Kathy. A concern about change, right? I grew up in this community. This might especially be a rural community. It could also be a city neighborhood. This is not the neighborhood I grew up in. And maybe that's racial or ethnic composition. Maybe that's the factory closed or the farm economy isn't what it used to be, or the community doesn't feel as cohesive. Can be a lot of things. How much does that concern that this isn't the community I thought I was growing up in one way or another affect how people think about politics, maybe vote in elections?
I think it matters a lot, but how it matters varies a lot by people's partisan leanings. So, if you're that sense of, as you say, like it could be this sense of, you know, racial change or a sense that the demographic composition of my community, my place, my state is changing, and I'm not comfortable with that. In other words, a sense of racism, right? Like it could be that. It could also be this sense of how life in the U.S. seems really different right now with respect to the economy, for example. Like it's just harder to make ends meet. And so that there's also that uncertainty, right? And then there's also just huge uncertainty about our political life these days. And you know, all this talk about this election being a referendum on the future of democracy gives people a sense of something is really shifting, and I'm not sure where it's going. But again, like what people do with that really matters with which party they lean toward, and really the leaders that they're listening to, or even the online influencers they're listening to.
Kathy, we'll leave it there. Always good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
You too, Rob. Thank you so much. Best wishes.
That's Catherine Kramer, professor of political science at UW-Madison, co-chair of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences Commission on Reimagining Our Economy. Been talking about voter attitudes, what they can tell us about this week's election results 8 years after she put out her book, The Politics of Resentment.